This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with our fourth edition of Watching From Home, which is our own way of just talking about the things that we've been watching, maybe enjoying, maybe not, from home during this period of the MCO. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Joining me is, of course, Arvind Yuvaraj and Sharmila Ganesan. Guys, hello.
Hello, hello.
Okay. I'm just going to start the show off with a confession that's going to inform the rest of what I have to say on the show. And that is, I've had a really bad viewing week. I've tried to watch a bunch of different things because I know that we do this every week, and I do feel like, well, for goodness sake, I mean, you better have something to say. And so I've been trying to watch a bunch of different things, and I think I've watched 5 or 6 movies or something over the last week or so, and none of them have really been that enjoyable, and I'm not entirely sure why that is. So just to say that I'm coming from a bit of a downer place when it comes to what I've been viewing. What about you guys?
I think actually that's not dissimilar to what I've been feeling. And I don't know whether to a certain extent it's been building to this over the last maybe month or so, because the first few weeks was all like, oh my God, I suddenly have so much time. I can catch up on all the shows that I've been wanting to watch. You know, honestly, the high point of my last week was when Juliet, my colleague, and I decided that we would watch the Nutcracker Ballet together, quote unquote, from each other's houses. And I realized actually that the problem was I missed communal viewing. I missed something being an event. I missed the idea that, you know, when you watch things, it's not just about watching it in isolation. And I think I'm almost lucky in some sense because I get to talk about it with you guys at least once a week. But I mean, I live on my own, and everyone's just watching different stuff. So it's really just everything is very solitary. And I think that kind of makes me feel like I'm not particularly enjoying this currently as I used to in the beginning.
I felt like that the first week, like the first week of the MCO, that was my sort of like mindset, because I think we spoke about this where I just stopped watching stuff like Star Wars and Avengers and all the Marvel stuff, which is like the form of escapism. So I was like, what am I going to watch now? Like, I was looking forward to like Black Widow. I don't know if that's coming out. I was looking forward to like a bunch of other movies. Those aren't coming out. And the whole like cinema is in danger thing was showing up everywhere. So I was like, you know, I love streaming services, but I don't want streaming services to be like the only thing that I can watch. I want to choose to watch streaming services because, you know, I'm at home and it's fun. I can fully understand, because I was sort of disinterested in watching anything that first week because of how fragmented everything was and how non-communal, I guess, things were.
So on that note about the communal viewing, I think then it makes a lot of sense now, the more I think about it, why one of the things that really affected me and got to me in the last week was actually the Andrea Bocelli performance at the Duomo Cathedral over Easter Sunday. You know, it's one of those things that on paper sounds like it's guaranteed to go viral, right? I mean, this amazing opera singer singing in an empty cathedral with aerial views of empty European cities. But there was something really beautiful about the sight of him standing in front of the cathedral in Milan, empty, singing Amazing Grace. But also the fact that finally, after a while, I felt like everyone's talking about it. That communal experience, which I've been missing, was something I got from, you know, friends were texting me about it, people were posting about it, people were tweeting about it. And there was something really quite beautiful about that.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
It's funny how, like, on one end, there's, like, the communal experience is, like, on a highbrow level of this performance. And then on the other end, it's, like, Tiger King. Like, those
yes,
are the two things
totally,
that everyone's
yes.
talking about.
Totally. I was thinking about that because I spoke about Tiger King, right, a couple of weeks ago, about how that was the thing that, for me, was must-see, not cinema, but... a must-see event, and I went with it, and since then there have been just discussions ad nauseum about Tiger King, about its ethical issues, about whether or not we really shouldn't be enjoying it as much as we are. And I think that in a way has taken the wind out of my sails in a good way, because of course a lot of those think pieces are correct. As much as we enjoy Tiger King for entertainment's sake, as a piece of documentary, maybe it doesn't quite hold up. But it does also mean that when the bonus episode of Tiger King came out, I haven't actually gone back and, you know, dived into the world, because I was like, do I really want to be there again with all the no teeth and no limbs and no ethics and just, I don't know if I can do this.
Firstly, I didn't realize there was a bonus episode. And
I'm
both horrified and amused at the same time. But do you guys miss going to the cinema? Do you guys miss... Is that what you think it is? Or event cinema in some way?
I miss event cinema. So we were sharing this Avengers Endgame reaction clip over the weekend with each other. And Scott Gustin, someone on Twitter, like a user on Twitter, shared it and it went viral. It's a clip that someone on YouTube, he has a YouTube channel where he sort of tapes audience reactions. And then when when it comes out on like streaming, he picks up the footage and then he sort of syncs it. And I think we sort of like were talking about how like this time last year, people were watching Endgame and everyone, it was like the pop culture thing. Like it was like bulldozing through every other thing and breaking records and stuff. So I missed that. Like I definitely missed that. I don't know how much I miss normal cinema, and I'm kind of shocked that I would say something like that. But I think because I pretty much would go to the cinema twice a week and watch almost anything and everything. This time has sort of given me a break, and I can explore like other things, and I don't have to, you know, spend 2 hours watching something that I might not necessarily want to watch. So maybe moving forward, I would like filter my choices more and not waste money and time on things that don't need my money and time. But communal experiences like watching Avengers and big releases and seeing these things in the cinema, and especially like horror films where you get people reacting to the scares and the jump scares and stuff, those things, yeah, for sure, like 100% I miss.
Yeah, so when I think about that Twitter thread, I mean, the first time I saw it, I teared up. You know, there are some really pivotal scenes that happen in Endgame. Has the statute of limitations expired on this one? Can we say what they are yet? Anyway, you know, that happened in the big battle, right, where people are coming together, for lack of a better term, they're assembling. And in those times, when people were cheering and gasping and having these audible reactions and these audible emotional reactions, I think that's partly why I'm feeling so meh. And I promise to try to, you know, to not be like this through the whole show. But I think the reason why I was feeling so whatever about it is because nothing that I've seen at home by myself over the past week or so, mostly catch-ups of recent films that I somehow missed and some rewatches, none of them have moved me. None of them have made me feel that visceral rush of, oh my God, yes, you know, whether it's a fist pump or wanting to cry. And when I think about the experiences that I had in the cinema right before all this happened, the two most recent films that I watched were Little Women and The Invisible Man. And for very different reasons, both movies were really strong, impactful experiences. Mm-hmm. And now I feel as if I haven't had anything at home yet that compared in that same way. So yeah, in that sense, I really do miss that.
I do think there's something to be said also for that idea, not just about being at the cinema, because I actually went, I think, particularly when I was in between jobs or when I got really busy with certain things, I went for a fair amount of time not going to the cinema and not missing it necessarily, even though I love films and I love, you know, the experience of going. I think there's also some sense of just being able to walk into the office, and I remember doing this with Arvind all the time because he sits like behind me, which is like, have you seen it? Have you seen it? Do you know? Can we talk about it? Or, you know, locking yourself in a corner of the office so that you don't spoil it for people. Just that the whole culture of watching something that is something that's a moment in everyone's lives. Okay, everyone might be overstating it, but in a large number of people's lives, not just in reality, but virtually. Right now, I think the moment is basically the pandemic, right? I don't think that anything can supersede that. And sometimes that's a little bit of a downer.
I would love to get a spoiler alert or like a spoiler for the pandemic. Like, this is how it's going to end. And I'm like, tell me. I want to know. I don't want to wait. But yeah, so that goes back to, that's exactly what happened after Endgame, like last year. Like, so we saw it and then a few people hadn't seen it. And then we had to like whisper around like corners. And there was like a small corner where mm-hmm. people who had seen it had like their little conversations and stuff. But yeah, those things for sure, like completely. And even like it became like a global thing where everyone who saw the movie had those reactions in their own cinemas. It wasn't just an exclusively an American thing, or, you know, this guy on YouTube and he had like an exclusive access to his community or whatever. Like every cinema had their own, of course, like, you know, they shouldn't have been having handphones in the cinema, but they were taking videos and stuff of people just getting up and screaming at these like scenes in Endgame. And I don't know when the next time we're going to have that. We were supposed to have a couple of those this year, I think. But yeah, so that's...
Well, Wonder Woman, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And those are the things I think that bum me out the most. These big blockbuster events that you have to hide from other people, or, you know, who haven't seen it, or you have to like whisper around. Those things are, you know, I don't think they can be replaced on streaming services.
So are you guys currently missing cinemas or new premieres? Are you missing the whole experience of being a moviegoer? Do let us know. Do share. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to retreat into our own little worlds again and talk about what it is that we've been watching in these times. Keep it here on Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
We convinced ourselves that they were gone. But they were just hibernating.
They came for everybody. Oh, please.
Are we safe?
I guess we have ourselves a reckoning.
What are you two talking about?
Oh, nothing. Just the end of the world.
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila, all recording from home because we're talking about what we're watching from home. We just spent the first part of the show in many ways lamenting the fact that it is a very separate viewing experience at the moment because we're not seeing premieres, we're not going out to cinemas, understandably. But we do still want to talk about what it is that we've been watching and enjoying at this moment in time, and also hearing from you on what that might be for you. So do get in touch. So you guys, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, maybe I am going to negate myself slightly and say that I did have... other than Fleabag, which I raved about, was it last week? Yeah, I think it was last week. I did actually manage to catch up on a TV show that I'd been wanting to watch for a really, really long time, something that I have a lot of investment in. And I'm glad to say that I was not disappointed. And this was Watchmen, it's basically the TV series adaptation of the graphic novels by Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons. And it was brought to television by Damon Lindelof, who's, of course, best known for being the creator of Lost. I mean, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that for me, really, it's probably one of the best TV shows I've seen easily in the last 5 years. You know, it's a great adaptation of a very, very difficult series. And I think what they do so well is that they don't touch the story of the comics. So essentially what they're doing is the comics, of course, tells of a world of superheroes, the Watchmen, who are living under a sort of alternate reality America where, you know, things like they won the Vietnam War, Nixon didn't go through Watergate. And they pass an act that outlaws vigilantism. So superheroes, these superheroes who initially watched over society are now hunted. So the series actually brings that forward to present day and builds on how the comics end, which I think is such a brilliant way of carrying on with the spirit of the show, but introducing a whole new bunch of characters while also having the ones that we probably really like from the comic. It's so brilliant. Every episode is like a little great, perfectly crafted movie, and so, so contemporary and current. I would highly recommend it. And, you know, I got that kind of excitement that you only get out of being able to spend a few days or weeks with one show.
And this is like, it's a continuation of the graphic novels, not Zack Snyder's movie.
No, so actually it seems to have sides. I mean, Zack Snyder's movie was essentially just a frame-for-frame filming of the comics, except he did away with some of the more complicated parts of the ending.
Of course he did.
So the series just kind of ignores the existence of the movie and straight away picks up from where the comics end off.
You could not have said anything that would make me feel better about this than hearing that.
I could see you smiling already.
Because yes. We've had this conversation many times. I do not like Zack Snyder's Watchmen. And it has influenced me to believe that the comic book might be unadaptable. Because if you have a picture-perfect adaptation of it, and I still hate it as much as I do, then what is there for me? So this idea of... Because it's a very rich world, actually, the Watchmen. It's super well-rounded. If you've read the comic book, there is a very, very... There's a lot of depth to all the different storylines and to the world that they occupy. So I think it's ripe for a mini-series or a TV show because it's self-contained, but maybe you also don't want that much of it because the beauty of it is that it is self-contained and it lives like that. So I think it kind of works in that sense.
No, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right because maybe the problem... I actually do think that the comics might well be unadaptable. And the beautiful thing about the TV show is that it doesn't try to adapt the comics. It jumps into a world that's already set up. So a lot of the rules are kind of taken for granted and they almost assume you understand or know what it is, which can be a little bit difficult for people who are completely unfamiliar with this world. But it's not so difficult that you wouldn't be able to follow the series because the other thing it does is that it uses a lot of actual American historical events to tie this fairly out there premise into something that feels very, very real and very relevant.
So we're talking today about what we've been watching from home. I think that we are just about out of time on this side of the show, although we're going to be coming back to continue this conversation. What we've got so far are Watchmen, specifically the show, not the movie. And also, if you're feeling a bit nostalgic, then maybe go on Twitter, check out Scott Gustin's tweet thread of audience reactions to Avengers Endgame. Now, if you would like to weigh in on what you've been enjoying from home, then, or if you're missing the experience of going to the cinema, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello everyone. This is Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila, and it is the fourth installment of Watching From Home as we enter the fifth week of the MCO. I think my math is correct. And yeah, so we're talking about what we've been watching, hopefully enjoying while at home. Arvin, what have you got?
So, you know how last week we were talking about TikTok? And how, you know, we didn't know anything about TikTok.
Indeed.
Yeah. So I installed TikTok. And this happened like after I finished the last episode of Kim's Convenience. And I didn't want to start anything new. And I'm in the middle of like community. So I'm watching way too many things. And I'm like, I want to see. For some reason, I installed TikTok. And I think it's one of the best things I've ever seen like in my life. Like I cannot. It is an endless stream of entertainment with minimal talent and just people doing the weirdest things, and I don't think I'll be able to sort of enjoy Instagram as much anymore after TikTok.
So I'm going to play the auntie of this trio and be like, tell me, what is this TikTok? Because honestly, I mean, I know it's clips of videos, but I don't understand what the concept is.
No, so that's the best thing. There's absolutely like nothing to understand. It's a bunch of people mostly lip syncing to clips of God knows what, like bits and pieces of songs.
Or keeping up with the Kardashians.
Keeping up the Kardashians, just clips from movies and TV shows, or just like old, like super old lines of dialogue. And just like doing comedy skits or like reacting to it, or I don't know, like 10-second videos that become memes and stuff. So yeah, there's no need for anything. None of these people have much talent at all. They're just basically moving their mouths. And I don't say that in like an offensive way. It's just them dancing and moving to stuff. But some of it is like super funny, and it's like an endless scroll. Like sometimes you go on Instagram and it's a bunch of photos. And it becomes boring after a while because you don't know where the trail is going, and it sort of numbs your mind. I spent, on the first night, I spent 3 hours just scrolling TikTok, and I never got bored. I never got bored. It, because it just keeps going and people just keep doing weird things. And you can see the trends, you can see the memes and the sort of weird video styles pop up. And most of the time it's people copying other more famous people who have gone to like a million plus subscribers on the same platform. But even that's entertaining, because just watching people make fools of themselves in the best possible way is like the best thing. I don't know how else to you know, explain it, because again, even on Instagram, you get famous by having some kind of talent with photography or like making videos. Kind of, in a way. But on TikTok, you don't even need that. I guess you just need to be within, you don't even need to be within a certain age bracket. Because the first day, it was like a bunch of, I think it was mostly teenagers popping up doing stuff. And then the second day, for some reason, it was all people above the age of 50. I don't know how the algorithm works. But it was all like, you know, old people lip syncing to very, very new songs like Dua Lipa and stuff.
So I have been encountering TikTok mostly through memes as well as Instagram, like seeing people repost TikToks onto Instagram. And so I've been consuming it that way. And I can already tell that if I allow this to happen to myself, I too will be sucked into this vortex of 3-hour entertainment, but I don't know why. So thank you for that. Thank you for the recommendation.
It is a vortex. Yeah. It is a vortex. Like, it's nothing but a vortex. But it's a super entertaining vortex, especially during the MCO, especially in a time like this. It is like, because it doesn't keep you with one piece of, you know, one video, one piece of entertainment at all. It's like you can spend 10 seconds on one thing and then a maximum of 30 seconds on another, and then you're done and you're on to the next thing. So it's perfect for like short attention spans. And I know I shouldn't be supporting stuff like that because it's just not right, but it's fun. It works. I don't know why it works. And I'm gonna hate myself for saying this in about 3 months for endorsing TikTok of all things, but you know, it works. So I'm happy.
No, I just wanted to say that if it helps, I cried at one of those shared TikTok memes yesterday, and then I was kind of like, what has happened to me? Have I hit like peak MCO depression? Because it was, and that's why I thought it's just like, I don't get what it is, because it was these like stitched together videos of different families reenacting their baby childhood photos. And so like children or siblings or parents and their families sort of jump together and recreate a weird looking scene. And then it's juxtaposed with an old photo that they were all in when they were much younger. I watched like four of those and I was like bawling, and I'm like, oh my God, like this is so sweet. And I didn't know why. And then it just pulled into people deciding to kiss people who were their best friends just for like no reason. And I'm like, what has happened? How is this life?
You can't explain it, and you shouldn't try.
You should just be in it.
Should just be in it.
So, all right. So we've got that adding up to our... Is this even considered watching from home anymore? I guess it kind of is. What else are you doing?
It's literally watching from home. So I think that should count.
Okay. So now we're including TikTok. I just wanted to talk about something that is, I think, somewhat the antithesis of TikTok in some ways, and that is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was a movie that I missed in its first cinematic run and I recently caught. And I just wanted to lump it in with something else that I watched on Amazon Prime, and that was Guava Island, which was also something I missed when it first started streaming. And I bring both of those up because They struck me as similar experiences in that they were both very much about a mood. You know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, while ostensibly about the Manson murders, really isn't about that. It's about burning out in Hollywood. It's about trying to find new ways to make yourself relevant. But it's also just about bumming around in the 1960s in Los Angeles. And it's like three separate movies, except no climax. It's like the setup of three separate movies stitched together into one long thing with all these little vignettes and montages of very specific sort of movie styles that Quentin Tarantino clearly loves. And I watched it and I thought, what is this? I don't understand what I've just seen. But it reminded me of Guava Island, which I think is very similar in that it's light on story. Guava Island has like no story whatsoever. But it's very much about setting a mood, about being on an island among beautiful people, watching them dance and serenade each other and fight capitalism. And so I think, I don't know what this says about where I'm at the moment, but I think for a period where a lot of us are looking at the same faces every day and looking at the same walls and seeing a very limited amount of our daily lives, you know, the things that normally populate and delight us in life, it's interesting to watch things that are scene settings. You know, they're really just there to set a scene, set a mood. It's not even about a story. And I think maybe that's also why I liked music videos from last week. I think it's just where my head is at the moment.
I loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And I watched it when it came out in the cinema. But I get it because it's the quintessential Quentin Tarantino navel-gazing at himself and at Hollywood and at the things that he loves about Hollywood. Not that I disliked it. I loved it. But I get what you mean in that I don't necessarily know if it's a movie I'd want to watch right now, personally. Because you've got to want to be in that space, in that world. And as much as I'm someone who loves myself some Tarantino, right now may not be necessarily the time that I want to inhabit that space.
I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is like one of the perfect examples of missing cinema or like going to the movies, because it's shot for like, you know, a widescreen. It's shot like 35mm and stuff. And same, I mean, I don't know if I enjoy Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for those same reasons, because I think it's Quentin Tarantino sort of believing in his own hype. It's him enjoying himself a bit too much. But I would watch it just for like the scenes and the cinematography and how it's shot, and just for Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio like having chemistry on screen. But other than that, again, if I, like Lynn, I think if I had seen it on the, you know, on Netflix first, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much. It's way too long for like a sofa movie, for like a couch film. And it's also kind of pointless. It's you know, it's 3 hours of, it's a 3 hour film that could have been maybe 45 minutes long at most.
So what I will say is, I think that the one thing I really liked about it was that I could feel the sunlight on my face. Maybe because those scenes were so long. But I could feel, I felt like I could smell Los Angeles. Like I could feel the sun when they were out on the ranch. And so if what you're missing is parts of the world, I guess, and feeling like you could be completely immersed in it in the same way that we have all these movies set in New York. If you're missing that, then a movie like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood might really be for you. So, okay, we are talking about what we've been watching from home. It's been a loose mishmash, I think, so far. But we'd love to know also whether you've seen and enjoyed anything that we've been talking about or anything on your own, you know, that you would love to recommend at the moment that you think, like, helped you through this time. You can, of course, WhatsApp us, 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back right after this. It's Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Bruce Freddie Morrissey, BFM 89.9.
Korea used to be spelled C-O-R-E-A. Then Japan tell England Korea spelled with a K, so that Korea come after Japan in the English dictionary.
That's your most messed up conspiracy theory yet.
Not conspiracy theory, conspiracy truth.
Hello, this is Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Sharmila, and we're talking about what we're watching from home. As a quick recap, so far we've talked about Scott Gustin's Twitter thread that showed the audience reactions to Avengers Endgame. Mm-hmm. We've talked about Watchmen, we've talked about TikTok.
Bocelli.
Bocelli, of course, yes. Andrea Bocelli over Easter Sunday. And we've also talked about mood-setting films, films that make you feel like you are just in another place. And I was thinking here particularly of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Okay, what next?
Kim's Convenience could be next.
I love Kim's Convenience.
I love Kim's Convenience. Have you seen season 3? Like, are you done with season, the fourth season?
The fourth season, yes. I've seen all of it.
Yeah, so that's like one of the... Kim's Convenience is one of those things where it follows such old sitcom template. It even has those weird transitions where it's like it uses stock footage of a certain place just to tell you that they're shifting from like one location to the other location.
You almost expect a wipe.
The wipe or like a laugh track or something. But it plays so well. Like all the jokes are like super modern, and it touches on a lot of issues that are not PC, but you know, newer issues or more progressive issues without like beating you over the head with them. It's just genuinely lighthearted and funny. It's like my go-to whenever I need like a pick-me-up or I just need to watch something to feel better. It's one of the most perfect, not even sitcoms, one of the most perfect shows I've seen in like a long, long time. And I followed it for the last 4 years or however long it's been on Netflix.
It's funny, right? Because when I first saw Kim's Convenience, as in saw it as a tile, not saw it as a show, I thought, oh, that looks old-fashioned. I don't know about that one. And then when I first started watching it, again, it has a very, very old-school sitcom feel. It takes place in exactly, I don't know, 5 locations every episode. You just cycle through, this is this person's house, this is the convenience store, and you know, it just kind of goes through those places. I will say this. If you watch the very first joke of the very first episode, that sets the tone for you, for the rest of the sitcom. You know, sure. It tells you how these characters are, the way they speak, and the tone with which they approach the world. And I think what I like about it is that it is a very good-hearted show. It has a sweetness at its core, but its characters are also, in many ways, really unlikable. They are sometimes very cheap, sometimes they're stubborn, sometimes they're, you know, they're difficult in a variety of ways. And that's, I think, what makes it feel modern, you know? It's not Everybody Loves Raymond. It almost is, and then it isn't quite.
So I've never watched Kim's Convenience. I haven't even watched, you know, The only thing I've closest I've come is like the trailer on Netflix. But I remember being really, really intrigued by it because when it first came out, a lot of people were comparing it to another show that I really like, which is Fresh Off the Boat. And I didn't know whether the connection was only that it was a sitcom about an Asian family and therefore just unusual enough for it to warrant a mention. Are they similar in that sense?
So I don't like Fresh Off the Boat. I never got into Fresh Off the Boat. I don't know why. Maybe it's something about the comedy. The comedy is slightly more slapstick and slightly more stereotypical. Not saying that Kim's Convenience is not stereotypical because it makes fun of those tropes, like those Asian tropes. But in a more... I'm not even going to say inclusive. In a more... In a smarter way. It's clever about the way it tells those jokes. Whereas Fresh Off the Boat is more surface level. And I think that's why it doesn't get me or get to me. But Kim's Convenience has a lot of dialogue heavy humor. I think that's what I love about it.
I think for me, more than ever, sitcoms are comforting because they complete a conflict in 20 minutes. That is the function of a sitcom. You know, it sets you up, it tells you that this is the thing that we need to solve in whatever world we're in, right? Whether it's Brooklyn Nine-Nine, whether it's anything at all, this is the problem that needs solving. And then by the end of the episode, or, you know, worst come to worst, the end of the next episode, you will have resolved it. And I think, just like you said earlier, Arvind, like until we have a spoiler for the pandemic and we know how it's going to end, I think there's a real craving right now for closure and certainty. And so there's something about sitcoms that really give you that.
No, I completely agree. I feel like, you know, every time I have a break or when I want something to occupy me, sometimes I just go on The Office and watch us on The Office. I go on YouTube and watch clips of The Office or Parks and Rec just because you know that they end up okay. You know that despite this horrible thing and someone got fired or it looks like someone may leave the show forever, know that it ended up quite happy and fine. And again, I know we've said this before, but I think that there's something with that format that is very reassuring right now.
And it's also the consistency of Kim's Convenience. That's another thing. Like, none of them ever change. Like, normally when it goes from, like, one season to the next and they've made, like, they've had some sort of success or they've made some sort of money, you can see people who've had facial reconstructive surgery and they look different. Or someone, like, the lead just...
So they're like The Simpsons.
Yes, they're like The Simpsons. They're exactly like The Simpsons, where no one changes. For some reason, everyone looks the same across seasons. And there's that no one has any sort of actual growth. And I know that doesn't sound okay for a show, but like cartoons, they just remain in their spot. And I think that's sort of comforting when it comes to sitcoms, because they don't change. No one gets, like, kicked out, no one leaves and stuff. It's always sort of there, even though stuff around them has changed eventually and stuff.
Although this might be the last season that we can say that with, because of course Simu Liu, who is one of the stars of Kim's Convenience, is going to be a Marvel hero soon. So
Shang-Chi. Yeah.
So once that happens, then we'll see whether the Constance Wu Fresh Off the Boat thing also happens. So there is a model for it. We'll see. All right, Sharmila, do you want to close us off?
Well, just to bring the whole reassuring, communal, all of these threads that we've been talking about full circle, I'm going to talk about something fairly geeky that I think I've always done it off and on, but honestly, in the last couple of weeks, it's become a little bit of a, I don't know whether lifesaver might be overstating it, but at times when I felt like, oh, you know, I'm tired of watching stuff, I don't want to read stuff, I don't even feel like, you know, Zoom chatting with people. I've been playing Scrabble online, or rather via apps. So I've been playing quizzes or trivia games. You know, there are a bunch of apps that you can download that you can do these things with. And I have similarly geeky friends around the world. And interestingly, it's actually been with friends that I haven't necessarily spoken to regularly. And I think it might have to do with the fact that maybe they're not friends that you want to check in with every day, or not want, but... You know, your relationship is different. You're okay knowing that each other is fine. So, and these games usually allow you to message each other internally. So there's some amount of communication. But I'm really enjoying it. Like, I have Scrabble games going on with like a family friend who's like an auntie that I know since I was a kid. I have a game going on with a former producer who was with us in BFM and I haven't seen in a few months. And I have games going on with cousins and friends and former colleagues. And I love it. And I love the fact that this thing that might seem sort of frivolous or whatever. And I think the fact that it's also things like quizzes or Scrabble, which is something that reminds me of childhood and things that I used to do when I was a kid with friends, gives me that sense of community or togetherness that I'm probably lacking right now.
Is that the only game you're playing with an app like Scrabble, or is it like multiple different games that you've downloaded?
No, it's the actual official Scrabble app. So for a long time, there was an app called Words with Friends that was kind of like a Scrabble didn't want to do its own app. So Words with Friends came up with something with minor tweaks. But no, now I realized recently that Scrabble has its own app. It's called Scrabble Go. So I use that. And then for quizzes and trivia, my favorite go-to one is one called Quiz Up. Mm-hmm. Which does, you know, you can do like really atas things like, you know, world geography, or you can do like Friends trivia. So there's like something for everyone.
Nice. I love that on our show, world geography is considered atas. That's who we are, you guys. Okay, so we've been talking today about what we've been watching and in some ways doing from home, right? I think we've extended the category a little bit because with no new releases on the horizon, I think this is where we're at the moment. So to recap, let's do the games one again. What would you recommend?
Well, if you like Scrabble, then Scrabble Go is a great one, and Quiz Up, where you can do trivia, quizzes, and so on.
And before that, we talked about
Kim's Convenience.
So we've got that Kim's Convenience, mood setting, immersive. Nothing much else films even, you know, such as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Guava Island, if you're just feeling like you want some sunshine. That's the other one. We had Watchmen. We had Andrea Bocelli.
TikTok.
How could I forget?
In the TikTok. Same sentence, yeah.
And I think...
And reminiscing about Avengers and what it's like to watch movies in cinemas.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'm hoping that by the time that we come back next week, we'll actually have seen something that we love. But in the meantime, I think this is just the kind of week that we've had. Let us know what you've been watching. Let us know if you've also been feeling a little bit of doldrums when it comes to finding new stuff to watch. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. If you'd like to drop us a line, we are movies@bfm.my. And if you want updates on the stuff that's coming your way, you can, of course, check us out. We are BFM Popcorn on Instagram as well as Twitter. This has been Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.